Ladies and gentlemen, Back Gig Studios Lounge is proud to present The Gig Cast. Welcome to the Gig Cast. This is Gig Cast Show 193 for the third week of March 2010. This is your host, JT Shea. On today's show, we have a conversation, or I should say, I have a conversation. You get to listen in on a conversation that I have with Brian Gibson, recorded live in his kitchen. We talk about what's going on with him, with Stupitz, and with, also talk about what happened at MegaCon. Just got back from that a little while ago. Had a conversation about that and a few other things. And, of course, usual webcomic news, reviews, and whatnot. We also have, of course, the TBBA Spotlight from Brian Anderson from DougieDoug.com. So we're going to get to that and all that on all that and more right after this.
At 11 on KWTF News, unemployment rates reach all-time low.
Middle Eastern officials reporting peace talks could end within the week.
And do you like puppies?
Don't believe their lies. You think you should be afraid of Osama Hasbin? You think you should be afraid of losing your job? What you should truly be afraid of is out there, and we are fighting a losing battle to keep you safe. Zombies are real and they are coming. Then you will know what it means to truly be afraid.
Tune in tonight for our weekend forecast.
I'm Tara O'Hara.
I'm Vic Beretta.
See you tonight, KWTF News at 11.
And now back to your show.
Visit www.ontheedgeofdarkness.com.
And we're back. Okay, now this part of the show is going to be a little different. First time we're going to try something like this. With my nifty new mobile recorder, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to have a conversation about what happened over the weekend at MegaCon, and what my special guest is has been doing lately, and that special guest being Mr. Brian Gibson.
Hello.
From, of course, Stupitz.com. And we're going to see how this works out, and, could be something new, something different, a little bit interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's different in the fact that we're sitting in my kitchen. That's a start.
Yeah, that is different. This is he obviously doesn't live too far from me, so it works out well. And his house is quieter and brighter than mine, so it works out just fine. So, Brian, we'll start off with you. You're at Stupitz.com. How's that been going for you?
Good. You know, I haven't been updating regularly, but I have been, you know, drawing, you know, in my spare time and updating when I get a chance to. And it's still doing good. I've been experimenting with different strips and different styles lately, so I've been posting those the last couple of weeks. So.
Yeah, and you've also been experimenting with a whole other strip, kind of like the same characters, but in the future.
Yep.
With your spots and stripes.
Yep, it's basically the same character, Tim, and he's just a little further along in his life, and he's you know, dating and living with his girlfriend and five cats, also in a small.
The five cats.
Apartment.
Yeah,
so,
the five.
That's the gist of it, right there. So.
Well, that's definitely something that that can make for some good comics, I think.
Yeah, I actually have a picture I posted on the blog underneath that shows some of the pictures from that time frame. Our apartment in New York with the cats. If you scroll down a little bit under them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just to show that I'm just not making it all up. So it existed. So.
That's right. It's a real life comic, more or less.
I'm having a good time with it. I'm not, you know, too pressured about how fast they're coming out because, you know, I'm traveling a lot with work, but. You know, in the spare time, I've been keeping myself busy working on it. So,
that's
and I'm
great.
Getting some good feedback too, good response from people. And it, you know, it is all, you know, it takes one or two nice comments, and that's enough
yeah,
to
that's
keep you going for
exactly,
a while.
Exactly. And for those of you who don't know, his work isn't one of those day gigs that is mind-numbingly drudging. He actually works in art, more or less. You are a mural painter for a company.
Yep, it's a theming company that travels around painting industrial, large-scale murals and sculptures and basically themes entire environments. So.
Yeah, and you can tell from on the on your website, your comic, that you're obviously skilled with the brush and pen. But you guys should check out his Facebook or anywhere else you have your stuff painted.
Yeah, I also have on Twitter. I'm BG Art on Twitter, and yeah. I have a
twit pics and whatnot. You should check out how he is with an airbrush. The man, the detail work on these walls is absolutely amazing. It's great.
Actually, I've been doing that more over the years than doing comic work. So actually, doing comic work again is kind of I realize it's a different skill set when I try to go back to cartooning again. I was like,
it's amazing the scale differences you're working with, because you're talking about, you know, you're working on a 11x17 piece of paper for your comic, and then you're working on an 11x17 foot wall.
Yeah, a couple hundred square feet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, you can't complain too much about a kind of job where you paint cartoons on walls.
But yeah.
I still do, because it's a lot of traveling, and sometimes it's 15, 16-hour days to complete.
That's the tough part. Time, yeah, so. Obviously it's not a in-your-own-studio type thing. You're traveling around. And it really interrupts our flow of when we're supposed to have coffee. But
yep.
But ideal. That's I handle true. It okay.
Yeah.
And it works out.
And I have stuff to complain about again when we get together, so it works.
Yeah. Now, you were supposed to be at MegaCon with us this last weekend, but one of those jobs that we were just talking about got in the way, which allowed my daughter, Ailish, to take over your table. So that was all right. That worked out fine, I guess. But MegaCon was really great this year, I must say. And it was a little different from previous years. There was not a webcomic panel, so we didn't have that. But I met some really great people there.
Yeah, I'm really sad I missed it this year. I was really looking forward to it, you actually got me involved in that, you know, the first year, and then we did the mini MegaCon in the summer, and I had a great time there too. So I was really looking forward to this one, but
It was
you had to pay the rent, so
yeah, that's the way it works. It was it was a good time. We had if you consider who people were quote related to Night Gig in one way or another. Uh-huh. Those are the air quotes. Those of you who aren't watching the video podcast. There is no video podcast.
How do you know I'm not recording?
Yeah. Is there a nanny cam in here I don't know about?
See the flowers.
That clock over there, that in the six, there's a little circle. That's actually. We had, of course, we started out, we had four complete tables. Four tables, which was actually, four tables. At the end was Mark Meckes from Zortik and his new EDPI, which is now actually going to be Saucer Seekers, which I believe has launched by now.
Oh, right.
So Mark, of course, Mark has been in webcomicking for almost 11 years now.
Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah, real nice guy. Great and guy. And then next to him, sharing a table with our own Carl Kouras, the Trentinator, was Krishna from PC Weenies. So he had a very quiet, reserved Krishna next to loud, absolutely, funny, in your face, get your attention, sales tactics, Carl. And they both did really well, which is great, because you get the dichotomy of the people coming up, because people who came to, who saw Krishna with PC Weenies and who's been doing it again for, 10 years.
Sure.
People actually were searching him out,
he's a real pro.
He just recently come and started doing with the books and stuff, so. That was very, very interesting how that worked out, but it did work out really well there. And then after that was the Night Gig table, which would have been you and me, but it was me and my daughter Ailish and my son Tig was there as well. 8-year-old Indiana Jones. It worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
Sold a couple of books. Sold a hat for Joe, who wasn't able to come down, but she was representing Scott. His first MegaCon that Night Gig had that he missed, had his portfolio set up. And a lot of people look through it, but when the artist isn't there to sell,
sure,
it's kind of rough. I mean, a lot of people liked what they saw. No one bought anything.
Yeah, he did some really nice cards, too. You know, takes requests, would draw anything, anybody.
His sketch cards are awesome.
Yeah.
Are really, really cool. I mean, it's funny because I was looking at some of the on Night Gig now. We have a gallery set up of a lot, if not all, of the cover art that we used to request for for the gig cast.
Yeah.
And looking at one of the ones that he did early on, you know, a couple of years ago, compared to the drawings that he's doing now, sketches doing now, he's improved incredibly. His style has refined, I should say, incredibly over the past couple of years.
And well, I think he draws every day. Doesn't he do sketches?
He does it, yeah.
That's the way you got to do
he
it.
He does a sketch a day. He puts them up on DeviantArt and also on his own blog, I believe, mattscottcomics.com. So that's pretty cool there. And I was there with my ukulele and my Jane hat and trying to sell the... I think the problem with the night gig table, I've come to this realization, is we get too much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not focused enough so that when people come by, they look, and they see so much stuff on the table.
Yeah, it's a little overwhelming.
They don't... Right. There's nothing that, you know, if it was just one thing that might draw somebody and take a look. Like, for instance, Scott's sketchbook did bring people over to look through. And Ailish had her sketchbook out there, which brought people over to look at. But when the night cake half of the table, it was, you know, just a couple of books, a couple of things, and... No definite style, no defined, this is me, this is my work, come talk to me about my work.
Yeah.
So it was, I did sell one night gig book, but it was, that was, you know, but again, I'm not there. The buttons brought people over too, buttons
are
good.
And people also, I mean, you're singing, you had the ukulele going and singing the song.
I think I might have scared more people off this year than otherwise.
It worked the last couple of conventions.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
You were amplified this time, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that was. I think that might have been part of the problem. It should have brought the standard ukulele, because the amplification of the cigar box ukulele would go a lot further than my voice would. So, whatever. It was still fun, a good time. And then the next table down was Catherine White, a.k.a. Blue Canary Kit, and Kevin Heyman, who's been hosting the last few times. He had finals this week, so he's not co-hosting this week with me. He was there with his, and they had both had their stand, their banner stands behind them, and they did pretty well because they're great with the commission sketches. The artist is there doing the sketching with the sketchbook out to show what they have. And that is exactly what somebody needs, and they did okay. They were not lacking for people to talk to and stuff to sell, so it worked out well for them.
That is a big draw when you see an artist actually drawing at the table. You know, that's another draw for people to come around and
exactly.
You know, that's the part I enjoyed. But it turned out instead of doing more commissions, I started doing more caricatures and sketches of people in their anime costumes and. Pretty much by the end of the convention, that's all I was doing. And I was having a great time doing that. To me, that was more fun than, you know, drawing another character or something in a small, you know.
And you know something, you bring up a point here, which I was going to bring up, that the whole people in anime costumes. The MegaCon, while it is a comic book convention in a way, it's also, it's a mishmash of a lot of things together, but it's mainly that anime crowd.
Yeah.
Which is not as beneficial to the independent comic creator, independent press.
Yeah.
The people that are going there aren't looking for new stuff to read. They're looking to buy stuff for the related to the animes that they like, or the superheroes that they like.
Yeah.
They're looking to be seen in the costumes they've spent hours and hours and months and years perfecting. So yeah, while there is some people, you know, they are willing to drop a dollar or two here and there for something that catches their eye, they're more likely to buy something that's related to the anime that they're interested in.
Sure, I think in the end they're more like exhibitors themselves in their costumes than there are people going there to buy stuff. Yeah, you know, sometimes they're there to show off their
the people that go there that are in costume are going there to be seen.
Yeah,
more than to spend money.
Yeah,
which you know, that's why I'm thinking like there's that new. InventionCon, I guess, up in Maryland, which is a new media convention with webcomics and podcasters and bloggers and stuff like that. I think that's kind of intervention.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been reading about that. Yeah,
that sounds like it. You know, and then of course the webcomic weekend that they do up in Massachusetts.
Yeah,
those type of conventions, I think, will bring in more of the type of people that would be interested in what's happening with independent press and webcomics.
Mm-hmm.
More than these mainstream media. Now, the same thing with like San Diego Comic-Con. That's a huge multimedia event now with movie companies and TV shows and whatnot. But I think that is actually big enough that it brings
different
in enough people for maybe an independent press to get some
I can't really complain because I enjoyed seeing the costumes, and a lot of the people wanted me to draw them in their costumes. So it acted
right.
Pretty
so
well in
that's where someone like you, who can do the quick sketch, can do the caricature, can do pretty well.
Yeah, and you get to meet people and Batgirls and Watchmen characters and all kinds of things.
So. You know, I was very impressed with, and if you're following my tweets, you might have seen. With the Star Trek resurgence, I know the movie had just come out, and what there was,
Q was there.
I guess you could see him. Jonathan Frakes was supposed to be there, but he wasn't. But Brent Spinner, and
Data.
Brent Spinner and the Reading Rainbow guy, Geordi, what's his name, was also there.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
I didn't get to see any famous people this year.
Uh-huh.
I spent a lot of time in the booth trying to do what I could do
Sure. Was it the Mini MegaCon? We had that great conversation Carl did, with the person who played Cousin It.
Yes.
That was one of the memories from the last time. Yeah. He was a great guy too. He just sat there and talked about all kinds of things.
Personable. Exactly. That was pretty cool. And we talked to. Also this year, I was going to say about you, your sketching stuff. You probably would have done really well. Just rubbing salt in the wounds a little bit. But because Friday was about as busy as the busiest day.
Sure.
On the Mini MegaCon was.
Yeah.
And Sunday morning started out kind of slow, where people would have taken the time. To sit for a portrait, to sit for a sketch.
Yeah, you're right, because when it was a little slower, I did better. You know, people were actually looking for more souvenir type stuff.
Exactly.
And staying at your table a bit longer.
It worked out.
Next year, I'll be back.
There you go. That'll work out for you. I get to meet some pretty interesting people this year. A couple of nice people that we're going to be doing some interviews with in the next month or so. Had a good conversation with Mike Mahak. We've talked with him before. Callum Buffalo fame. He's got a new webcomic that's actually going to turn out to be a graphic novel in the end about Cleopatra in space.
I flipped through that. It's very impressive.
Yeah,
this is
kind of like a little sampler that he put out, and it's a black and white, but it's eventually going to be full color.
Yeah.
So the stuff on the web right now is really good. Mike Mahak, you may not be following him because right now he's on Lunchbox Funnies and it's Colin Buffalo and it's all that kid related. It's kind of more of a family safe centric site type of thing. Cleopatra in Space is about looks like Cleopatra in space, and she's got a cat with her, Kensu the kitty, the space kitty, who is like a technical whiz, I guess.
Yeah, the drawing style is very clean, and the tones are well done. It's a nice looking book.
Okay, so zapped away as a teenager from her home in era of 52 BC, Cleopatra VII found herself in the middle of a centuries-long war in the far, far, really far future. So she's basically fighting for Pharaoh, which is Pharaoh Urio's research and military initiative of defense, against the evil Zassus Octavian. So there you go. It seems like a pretty cool stuff.
And there's cats.
You can go, if you go check it out at cleopatrainspace.com, and of course you can follow Mike Mahak on twitter.com/MikeMahak. That's MAIHACK.
I don't know if you ever looked it up, but remember I lent you the Usagi Yojimbo books, and I said there was a Usagi in space that was done in a series.
No,
a
I did not ago. Look that up.
I haven't
up.
Seen it in like maybe 10 years, but it's you might find that interesting too.
My whole family loved that Usagi Yojimbo book that you lent us, and I'm going to have to find it myself and maybe get a copy or two of different versions, because that's great. We also talked to this new couple, not a new couple, they were actually webcomicking before. They got out of the webcomicking biz for a while to try to get syndicated, and now they're back with to try to build their audience back up. And it is Scott and Georgia Ball, and they have their webcomic Scooter and Ferret. It is it's a pretty cool comic. It's very funny. It's newspaper formatted, black and white. You can check it out at scooterandferret.com. It's about a dog named Scooter and a cat named Ferret, and they're human friends. Basically, the story goes, that the two house pets woke up one day and found their owner had disappeared, and they eventually determined that they had to become masters of their own destiny and get jobs. And Ferret the cat is actually an illustrator and animator trying to get a job as an artist, and Scooter is basically a he's just your average dog, lines around, does nothing, and makes comments. He's basically Ferret's lazy roommate. So, and they've got an invisible goldfish pet, and there's squirrels involved, because the squirrels are from Macadamia, where the they actually gave me one of their books, which is great, so I've caught up on what's going on. But I guess Scooter tried to get a job. He's overqualified because all the animations, all the stuff have been being outsourced to Macadamia, where these squirrels work for basically nuts to create the animations.
Welcome to the world of art.
Exactly. But it's very funny, very well drawn, well written.
It is very well, yes.
And check it out at scooterandferret.com. And stand by for, we'll be interviewing these folks in the near future. I've got other information. I'll be setting that up over Skype. They were living in Washington State. They're now living in Orlando. And so if you want to stalk them, that's where you can find them.
Nice looking book. Is this, you picked this up at the convention?
They actually came by and bribed me with it to give them an interview. But they didn't have to bribe me. They're nice people. They actually came to our traditional night gig dinner at the Ponderosa buffet, steakhouse, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
It's funny. We actually went to a different Ponderosa this year, but the inside, exactly the same.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ailish is like, so this is the one we were at last year. No, that was over an International Drive. This one's up here on 192 in Kissimmee, but inside it's identical. We had us in the same room, and it was kind of funny. But so yeah, Scooter and Ferret, check that out. And the one other thing I want to mention, there were others we talked to, but this one was kind of cool because I don't know if you remember in Mini MegaCon, these new podcasters came up and saw I had the microphone set up on the table and started talking to me. There's the guys from RackPackComics.com. It's a more of a, of course, a Rack Pack, so the comic rack. It's a paper comics webcomic. I mean, paper comics podcast. And we started talking business. Started talking, you know, how to edit, how to put things together. What's the best way to do this, that, and the other? And I gave them some pointers and some tips.
Yeah, I remember taking some time and discussing the process that you went through, and that was nice. Yeah,
about setting up, you know, audio templates and stuff like that. And they came back and gave me a demo disc of what they've been working on and thanked me for basically cutting down their editing process.
Yeah. Are they posting them yet? Are they on
iTunes? They've got they're on iTunes.
I'll have to check that out.
You can follow them at rackpackcomics.com. Looks like they're up to, let's see, what episode are they on? I don't know, I thought it was like 11 or so, but I might be wrong. But those guys, Alan Dempsey, Omar, Boris, Jim White, and Justin Pegg, were walking around in their tuxedo t-shirts,
nice,
looking all fancy. And
can you remember when you were at 11, number 11, as far as podcasts? What year was that?
2005. Let's see. That's
up to
a good
193,
question.
94
This is 193. We're creeping up on 200, and by 200, we hope to have this new format nailed down completely.
Yeah.
So that's going to be exciting. Let's see. We're looking at the 2005 archive. So it would be in 2005, and I'm sure the 11th episode probably scarred the inside of your eardrums if you listened to it. And I'm sure that these people's 11th episode was much better than what ours was. Okay, episode 11 was posted, of the GigCast, was posted on November 2nd, 2005. It was, let's see, who did we talk to? We talked to the guy, Slytherin Friends, who was, jeez.
You know, at this point,
know.
You could almost
so
do
long
like a little
ago.
Blast from the past, kind of a...
Yeah, we almost could. Maybe we should. That's not a bad idea. Yeah, you know, back in the olden days of podcasting, this is what it sounded like. Aren't you glad it sounds different now? Anyway, we talked about a lot of
you
things.
Can't hear
so
the cranking of the computer anymore.
Right? No, get the gerbils are running a lot faster these days. We also had a that was back when we had a minute in Chuck's brain, which was awesome. When Chuck Rolls used to do his minutes for us. That was a lot of fun back in the day. Back in the day, a long time ago. That's 5 years ago. Coming up on 5 years ago. Blows my mind. Imagine if we had kept going and not taken that many hiatuses in 2009.
Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes I think, what if I didn't really stop cartooning seriously in the early 90s, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And then picked it up again in 2003, you know?
Where would you be now? Probably in the exact same place, but have a lot more comics behind you.
Probably so.
Who's to say? Who's to say? Maybe I'd be sitting there talking with Scott Kurtz, and you'd be the one up in, you know, making lots of money and going up to pack and hanging out with the PC, with the Penny Arcade guys.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? All right. So anyway, yeah, I guess that was MegaCon. We did one thing different this year. Scott, Carl roped me into go doing, there was an airsoft battle.
Nice.
Basically, it's a live-action first-person shooter where you're in a troop of Marines and you're going to secure a Chinese spaceship that had warped back into human space. And, yeah, in the future, it was pretty cool. Monsters, airsoft pistols, rifles.
Any costumes? Did they give you stuff to wear?
Well, yeah, you got your helmet and your vest that had extra clips.
Yeah.
And you had your airsoft gun. I was Hot Dog.
Yeah.
That was my call sign. And they had a couple guys run you through
Sounds
it,
like
and
a
you know,
you,
the whole thing. Just like if you're playing a game with squad people, where you know squad one takes the lead, squad two hangs back, covers the rear. You leapfrog around.
Yeah.
You disable the engine, grab the engine core, get rescue survivors, get back to the dropship.
Reach over the partitions and shoot some customers. People walking around.
No, you're in a room. Unfortunately, you can't. There aren't any other. It's all dark. They've got the music playing. They got the lights flashing. They got. Just like you're, it's funny because they go, all right, let's go into the ship. And then the music starts up. It was a lot of fun. It was very sweaty. But it was good. Got to shoot people. Got shot a couple times.
Not bad.
It's cool. Anyway, MegaCon was a lot of fun this year. And I don't think there is a mini MegaCon this year.
Yeah.
There may be, there are a couple of smaller conventions here in the local area. Maybe we can think about you and me maybe hitting up. You, me, and Krishna, because we're all local here. And, and next week, I'll tell you about the van story once again. Because I-4 hates my cars. I don't know what it is.
Oh.
I don't know what it is. On the Minicon, we had a tire blowout on us, almost kill us. And this year, on the way up to MegaCon, pulling up in front of the hotel, on the drive up there, the AC compressor decides to totally disintegrate and almost, you know, the car still ran, luckily, and it's... I was under warranty, thank God, but it's still just, we had to, remarkably, I recommend this. If you're going to have a large group of people going from hotels to convention centers to dinner and whatnot, I recommend getting a German in the group.
Yes.
Carl is amazing when it comes to logistics.
Yes.
It worked out perfectly. I don't know how it worked out with getting everybody to the convention in one car the first day. Actually, back to the hotel the second day with two cars, luckily. Different cars on the second day getting to the con and back into dinner and back. And then figuring out how to get all the crap out of the convention hall, back to the van, loaded up in the van to get towed back to here in Palm Harbor. And it went off without a hitch.
Yeah. Carl drives like he's on the Autobahn, too. I noticed.
He does. He does. But
that's
it was
entertaining.
He actually beat me back to my parents' house from, and I knew where I was going.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So it all worked out well. Anyway, let's take a break now and take a listen to that TPBA spot. All right. That's right. That bastard Brian Anderson has once again sent me three webcomic links of webcomic goodness, and these are new ones week. These are ones he has not done before.
I always enjoyed that part of it. Yeah.
It's pretty cool, and we appreciate him being part of our little show here. All right, folks, we'll take a look at that, and when that's done, we'll come back and finish everything up. Thanks, Brian, for stopping by.
No problem.
Or actually for letting me stop by to your house here. And be sure to check out stoopitz.com, stoopitz.com. And I'm sure after there you can get the link to Brian's, to his Flickr, to his TwitPix. Follow him at BGArt on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And don't forget the new Night Gig Twitter, @NightGig. And all the new stuff will be posted there for you.
Great, thanks, man. I can shut off the nanny cam now, right?
You can, yeah, right. Okay. All right, here we go with the TBA Spotlight with Brian Anderson.
What's it, Sophie?
It's that time again? Come on, let's go.
It's time for some links from a guy in the know. When it comes to making comics, hey, this guy is a pro. Searches the web to find stuff he likes, and we share him with you on the TBBA Spotlight. It's the Bastard Brian Anderson Spotlight. From the Gigcast and DoggyDoug.com.
That's right, it's time once again for the TBBA Spotlight. That Bastard Brian Anderson has gave us three new comics to look at, and when I say new comics, I mean new comics. That's right, this week he sent us three brand spanking new. Some only have a few pages up, but they look mighty interesting. The first of which is Escape from Planet Nowhere, about an alien invasion on what I'm assuming is Earth. It could be another planet, and one guy who's got to go up against them. It's a great looking website. You can find it at planet-nowhere.com. So I've got a few pages up, but the creator, Otis Frampton, is doing a great job with it. It is looking outstanding. You should definitely go check that out. The second webcomic that Brian has pointed out to us this week is called My Sister the Freak. That's Danny Jones's new webcomic. Again, it only has about four or five pages up so far, but it looks really interesting. It has something to do with a pair of sisters who looks like they're going to be fighting some pretty cool-looking monsters. You can check that out at mysisterthefreak.com. Updates every Friday, and it's looking really, really good. The third webcomic introduced to us this week by Brian Anderson, is Mark Siegel's Sailor Twain, or The Mermaid on the Hudson. It's a pretty cool-looking black-and-white, full-page comic-formatted story about something about a mermaid in New York City in, I believe, the year... Oh, what's the year of this? Let's see here. It says it's somewhere New York, 1887. About life aboard the steamboat Laurier, and something about, I don't know, obviously a mermaid on the Hudson. Looks kind of dark, looks kind of brooding, looks kind of really cool. So again, check that out, and you can find it at sailortwain.com. All right, so that's going to do it this week for the TBBA Spotlight. And if you're not following Brian Anderson on Twitter, you should. It's at DoggyDoug. Doggy Doug is his Twitter name, and he's always tweeting all kinds of really cool stuff from folks all over the comic world, even on web and off. And of course, you can follow his comic, syndicated comic, I might add, Dog Eat Doug at DoggyDoug.com. All right, so that's it this week for the TBBA Spotlight, brought to you by DoggyDoug.com and the Gigcast here at Night Gig Studios. Until next week. I keep forgetting what I used to say when I signed off for Brian, so I'll just say until next week. See you next week. This has been the Gigcast. Remember, all links mentioned on today's show can be found at our homepage at www.thegigcast.com. The Gigcast asks, what's your gig? Let us know. Drop us a line at gigcast@nightgig.com or call our voicemail line at 1-206-203-3334. The best we played every week on the show. Help us help you let people know what is your night gig. Music for the Gigcast provided by Beatnik Turtle at beatnikturtle.com and by Corey Smith at myspace.com/TheCoreySmith. The Gigcast is a production of Night Gig Studios at nightgig.com, where it's not about what you do to live, it's about what you live to do. Nightgig.com. What's your gig?
One.